In the name of the Lamb of God, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. Our text is the lesson just read. It captures Abraham in the heat of the day, seeing three men approach. And he extends to them robust, Semitic hospitality. He asks them to pause. He sends to prepare a lavish dinner, provides water for their feet, and then assumes a posture of a servant standing nearby while they eat. And the text points us to this numinous event, especially from the divine perspective. It's the Lord himself and two angels who are eating with Abraham. And to understand this episode rightly, we need to take into account the whole Abrahamic narrative, Genesis 12 through 23. God repeatedly punctuates Abraham's life with appearances. Theophanies guide and guard him. First theophany comes at the age of 75, and now this one is almost a century later. And these repeated appearances are consistently tied to divine announcements. And their content is wonderful. In your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Over and over, the promise is given. And the Lord even provides some object lessons. He says, come on out, look at the stars of the heavens. If you can number those, you'll be able to number your children. Or look at the sands of the sea. If you can count those, you will have that many offspring. And let's change your name. It'll no longer be Abram, exalted father, but Abraham, father of many peoples. And even as these promises come consistently, repeatedly, Sarah remains barren. And after decades, Sarah cannot but laugh at the promise, which is where our text ends. And haven't we sometimes, maybe ourselves, said promises, promises, promises? And the underlying hermeneutic is that's all it is, a bunch of words. And so we can sympathize with Sarah. This had gone on a long, long time. And if we look to this episode, it's framed and defined in ways that are striking. Abram, after all, wasn't the sort of ideal that we would expect as the locus for God's saving salvific work. If one of you seminarians, fearful that a faculty member might harm you or even kill you for the sake of your beautiful wife, if you put on your application, she's my sister, we would question your suitability for the holy ministry. And Abram does this not once, but twice. He does it when he goes to Egypt. He does it later, much later in chapter 20 with Abimelech. And so we have a scene here that's extraordinary. Rationally, according to human measurement, you've got a fragile, frail human being, Abraham, and a woman who's remained barren for decades. Why would God delay? And why would he be so slow? Well, I would suggest that it is setting the stage to reveal his character. That is, when God moves, as he does in the pregnancy of Sarah, there can be no human explanation. It's by God alone, by his grace alone, that such an event can occur. And by his gracious intervention and agency, it does occur. Sarah becomes pregnant. And when you look at the long career of Abram, amidst his frailty, he had one wonderful trait. We're told he believed. He believed, and that means he trusted. He trusted in that promise, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And so he beheld Sarah conceived. And when we look over the Torah story, Rebecca conceived, and Leah conceived, and then Mary conceived. For the name, the reality of Jesus is already in the loins of Abraham. The promise was never up in the starry heavens. It was in the flesh of God's people. And now in the incarnate one, in Jesus, word and words become one. Promise and reality are held beautifully together. And you and I are the beneficiaries of that. When those words were spoken over us, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You were joined to Jesus' death and to his resurrection. It was simultaneous because the Lord of all reality speaks the truth, and it's the saving truth in Christ. When you hear the words, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. That's reality. No mere words. This is how you live and who you are. When we hear the words, thy sins are forgiven, it is done, because the one who speaks it is the one who brings it. And so we say, promises, promises, promises. Thank you, God, for those promises to Abraham and now to us. For our eyes have seen the birth of your seed, and in him we see our lives joined to your throne of grace and mercy. All are ours. The promises have delivered in Christ. And now may we live in Christ throughout our life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.